24. Nearby, Tea Cake and Naomi had been sorting through plans of their own ever since they'd heard the sound of the Harleys. They'd heard Mike's footsteps as he headed off down the hallway, apparently drawn by the sound himself. Tea Cake had come to a conclusion about it all that he was unwilling to be moved off of.
This is like some kind of zombie shit.
Naomi was feeling more reasonable. Okay, first of all, zombies are not real.
Zombies are real. Zombies are 100% real.
No, they're not, Travis. That's TV. That's movies.
Yes, and some really fucking excellent TV and movies, I'd like to point out, but that's not what I'm talking about. Zombies are totally real. They're based on this shit in Haiti. It's like common knowledge or whatever. It's dead bodies they make into slaves with magic. I cannot believe you don't know that. And you want to be a vet?
She looked at him. Do you actually believe that's what's going on here? Haitian magic?
What? Fuck no, I'm not an idiot.
He's getting impatient. So, what is your point?
I said this is like some kind of zombie shit as opposed to exact zombie shit, which I understand is, like, not a thing in Kansas, okay? Whereas I, that is to say, in reality here tonight, there is some growing green fungus and a rat king and an exploding deer and a dude that wants to throw up in your fucking mouth.
He made a gesture that said his point was proven.
Right.
And?
The thing, whatever it is, it's spreading. It wants to spread. Call it whatever you want, but the thing is in here, in this building, and it wants to get out there into the world. So what are we going to do about it? 20 years from now, when you and me are sitting around the fire, and our great-grandchildren asking us what we did way back in the Great Big Zombie War, what are we going to be able to tell them?
She opened her mouth to speak, but he held up a hand to stop her and kept talking.
And yeah, I know my math doesn't add up on the great-grandchildren thing, so don't even start.
She wasn't going to quibble with his math. She'd been about to point out that he had just assumed they were going to have children together. But that seemed beside the point. And kind of sweet, anyway. So she let him keep going.
We gotta go out there and stop that dude before he throws up in somebody else's mouth.
Why do we have to do it? The guy on the phone said he'll be here in 20 minutes.
Yeah, and who is that exactly?
He asked.
A guy on the phone who talks a big game? A lady at Fort Belvoir who had to hang up on you and call you back on her cell phone? Why would she do that? These are fucking amateurs, man. They're just as scared as we are. I don't know why, but they are. Now, if you talked to Colonel Dick Steele, whoever, and he said there were half a dozen Sikorskis flying in here with missiles armed and playing Don't Fear the Reaper on big speakers, I'd maybe wait around and let that happen. But I don't think we have time to sit here hoping a couple freelancers show up and don't get eaten before they get out of their own car. We gotta go out there and do something.
The debate bounced back and forth for another minute or two. Tea Cake had by now played Griffin's messages and knew it was him and his low-life biker buddies who had arrived, probably to pick up the stolen merchandise. It was all Tea Cake's fault, of course, because he'd been unwilling to bend the rules, yet another example of doing the right thing and getting screwed because of it. But he and Naomi finally agreed that Griffin and his friends, though admittedly detestable, were human beings and didn't deserve to die. Or, if they must, it would be great if they didn't spread a deadly fungus to the rest of the world on their way out. They agreed that starting with a phone call made sense. Tea Cake hit callback on Griffin's last incoming call to him and waited. The phone rang twice before Griffin answered. He was talking before the phone got to his mouth, so it picked up mid-sentence.
You fuckwit, you ever ignore my calls again, I'll fucking fire you. You think there's some kind of fucking game, I promise you it.
And then his voice faded away again as he lowered the phone and hung it up. Also mid-sentence. Tea Cake looked at the phone.
Wow.
What?
He's just such an asshole. I'm always kind of taken aback.
He hung up. Tea Cake nodded and called again. It went straight to voicemail. Tea Cake lowered his phone, stumped.
I have to admit, I did not see that coming.
Did he sound all right?
Well, he sounded like a jerk-off, so I guess it was him and he's all right. Let's get to him before your friend does.
He's not my friend, she said, indignant.
Whatever, the guy you had a baby with. Let's stop him.
He went to the door and threw the bolt on one end. She stepped in front of the bolt on the other end, not done talking about this yet. He has a gun.
He has a 22. Yes, a 22 can fuck you up, but the magazine only holds 10 rounds and I think he used them all.
How do you know? She asked.
Because while we sat here for the last 15 minutes, I counted them in my head. One in the hallway when we were running away from him, three outside the door when I was rolling under it. and 6 that he shot at the door after we had it locked. Look, you can see where every one of them hit. She looked up, and indeed there were 6 little dimples, spread out over a 3-foot area in the metal door where the slugs had dented the outside. She was impressed. TK continued. So, he can't shoot us, right? He can only barf at us or blow up on us, but if we stay far enough away, that's not gonna matter. We get Griffin and whatever shitheads he showed up with to clear out, keep your baby daddy inside this place, please stop that, and wait for the cavalry to come. If they know what they're doing, then boom, we save the world. Or at least eastern Kansas. He paused. When a good salesman knew he had a kicker, he always saved it till last, and used as few words to express it as possible. TK knew he had it, so he took a suitable pause and then deployed it. And your kid, too. Naomi looked at him, touched. TK went on, and this was the part that meant more to him than all the rest. It was the part he hadn't realized until he got almost all the way through his speech and understood why he was selling so hard, why he was campaigning for the right to open the door and go risk his life when he didn't absolutely have to. This bit came from the heart. Look, I know they pay us for shit here, but this place hired me straight out of jail and nobody else would do that. I'm supposed to take care of it, and for once in my life, it would be nice to not fuck something up. This is my one job, and yes, it's a shitty one, but it's the only one I've got or that I'm gonna get. You don't have to come with. I'll leave. You lock the door. I'll come back and get you when it's clear. Naomi looked at him, and she thought, it's funny, some things improve with closer inspection. He sure did. She threw the bolt on the other side of the door, and together they pulled it up over their heads and stepped out into the hallway. Immediately, Teacake was proven right about one thing. The gun must have been empty because Mike had left it behind, on the floor where he'd sat. They started down the corridor. They'd taken only 3 or 4 steps when Naomi's phone buzzed. She signaled to Teacake, stopped, and answered it, whispering, "Still here." It was Abigail. 10 minutes on the dot since she had last called. "Good. Just checking. Is your situation unchanged?" Naomi hesitated. "Not exactly." "What does that mean?" "We left the locker." Abigail paused, thinking. "I am at a loss as to why you would do that." "There are more people here now. We gotta tell them." "How many people?" "I don't know. Call me back." She hung up and looked at Teacake. She was not happy. Teacake shrugged. "Who is?"